All right. Welcome to 3 to 5 Guys, Boxes and Fries. Today is interesting because we don't even have three guys. We got two guys. It's me, Phil.
2 to 5 guys.
2 to 5 guys today, but really just two. And I'm here with Jonathan. Thanks for joining, Jonathan. Hello. We have my buddy Max might be joining. If he does, it'd be late, but he probably won't be here today. But we'll see. If he suddenly jumped on, that'd be interesting. We'll roll with it. So I wanted to kind of start by my recommendation for the week is, and I don't remember if I've brought this up in the past, but I have this band or this music group that I really, really love. And they're Norwegian. I've been saying they're Icelandic for like ever, because for some reason I thought they were Icelandic, but I did a little research into them so I could know how to pronounce their name correctly and everything for this. And I realized they were Norwegian, but it's Røyksopp is the name of this band. And they're incredible. Their first album came out like 98. They have a lot of music, and I have all of their music on this one playlist that I've been building over the last couple years. And whenever something new comes out, I add it to the playlist. And I got this notification this last week from Spotify saying that I am, how they put it. I basically a bigger fan than like 99% of the people or something. And I'm like on their 1% of Røyksopp fans or something. And they send me this link to this playlist, Røyksopp playlist, Røyksopp radio, which when I search for it, I can't find it. So it feels pretty exclusive to me, but it's really awesome playlist that I've been listening to with other like type music that's kind of like theirs. But really the style of music Røyksopp is kind of like a mixture of ambient house music and like synth pop. It's kind of very electronic, but basically it's a duo. It's two guys from Norway, and they named their band after a type of mushroom that's actually, because the way you spell Røyksopp is R-O, the O with umlaut, the two dots, Y-K-S-O-P-P, and they named it after this mushroom called Røyksopp, which is like the same spelling except for it's the O with the slash, so it's pronounced differently. Who knows why they did that, but that's what they're called. It's freaking incredible, so check it out. I don't know, I've shared some of that with you, haven't I, Jonathan? Some Røyksopp music?
Maybe. I was about to ask how you would spell it, and you're like, oh yeah, it's R umlaut. I'm like, oh yeah, I know that character.
Yes, right. The O with the two dots on top of it.
Yeah. How do you even type that on your keyboard?
I had to just like search their name, and like on YouTube, I like copied and pasted it. You know, like I don't know how to type it. I'm sure there's got to be a way.
But, oh, yeah. I'm sure it's Option Control O something.
Yeah, exactly. But they're freaking great. I love them. So, and I felt pretty proud that I was like such a big fan that Spotify noticed and sent me almost like an exclusive playlist. I'm pretty sure I can share with people, but like if you search Røyksopp Radio, the name, this playlist doesn't come up. So that's pretty cool, right? All right. So I just want to remind people to rate and review the podcast on the Apple Podcast app. I always try to remember this. In fact, I'm going to look right now and see if we have any new. I was going to beforehand, but if I go to our show on the Apple Podcast and I scroll to the bottom, we have 4 ratings and only 1 written review still. Okay, it's all right. I won't take it personally. So today we're going to talk about a topic. In fact, Jonathan and I kind of, in a way, we're speaking about this just naturally yesterday, kind of. But it's about how and when to assert yourself. And a couple of things happen in the last couple of days that just had me kind of thinking about things along this vein. First of all, I had a situation where you hear someone speaking and they say something that could be considered offensive, like a particular word. And I said to them, oh, you probably shouldn't say that. And I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, is it my place to even point that out? Like, why did I do that? Was I trying to feel like righteous about it? Was I actually being sincere? I don't even know. I was like really questioning like who am I to tell this person what words they should or shouldn't say? So that was kind of an interesting thing that got me thinking. And Jonathan and I were talking about this yesterday. And then yesterday as well at work, we had this discussion in Slack where somebody had asked for some feedback on something, and someone gave some advice or gave their opinion, and I just really disagreed. And so I actually said in the Slack, like, I'm not sure I agree with this person. And I kind of explained why I disagreed with their feedback. And then I was questioning myself, like, should I have like been so direct? Should I have been asserted myself so well and then really called them out as saying, I don't agree with it, what they did and what they said. What do you think, Jonathan? Like, I don't necessarily think I did anything super wrong in any of these situations, but when is it appropriate? When should we assert ourselves? When should we? And I guess when I say assert ourselves, it might be just like, hey, calling somebody out, or maybe kind of putting our opinion out there, maybe contradicting somebody. When is that appropriate?
Yeah, I think most of the times it is appropriate. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. Now, it might be uncomfortable. You don't want to do that in situations in which, like, you're trying to attempt to correct someone over something petty that doesn't matter. You don't want to, like, create waves. But at the same time, I feel like we should build relationships with others where we feel comfortable providing correction or providing an assertion of our opinions and values. We have Eric, which is one of our coworkers, that he's probably the ultimate example of this. He is very strong in his opinions. He will tell you exactly what he feels, and he asserts himself almost in every case. And it's really off-putting to a lot of people at the start. We made a joke that we talk about how to deal with Eric in orientation because it's so uncommon that people will be that straightforward. But then after a couple of months, everyone's used to that. It's just the way that he's just open and direct. And I've grown to appreciate that myself. I don't know if you have the same feelings, same thoughts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that, and I see what you're saying, because he's unusually open and direct and will contradict and say why he thinks something's wrong or incorrect. But he'll do that with anybody, whether it's the owner of the company or like the janitor, right? Or yeah. And the thing is, it's consistent. And so when you realize, oh, he's not just calling me out, or, you know, it's nothing against me. He's just being sincere and honest. And even if he's wrong, you know, and the great thing about him is if you show him how he was wrong, he'll be like, oh yeah, I was wrong. You know, so he's just as direct with himself, you know, in his introspection as anybody else. And that's not exactly
common. He'll do a 180 and he'll charge forward with the exact opposite of idea.
Yeah. As soon as he's like on board with something and feels convicted about it. Yeah. He's going to stand behind it, and he's going
to, not to make this too much about one person, but like,
yeah, sure.
just in general, I grow to admire people who do that. People who assert themselves and really they're more concerned with making things the best. They're concerned with improving lives or improving the product or improving whatever, and they're not so much concerned with maybe people feeling uncomfortable or that. And I kind of want people to do that to myself too, right? Like, if yeah. I'm doing something that's not good, maybe I'm annoying someone or something, or I have bad breath or whatever, like I brought up yesterday, I want someone to tell me that. It might be uncomfortable, but I still want to know that so I can grow and learn too.
Yeah, and it's going to... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was finished.
Oh, I just missed the last. I think you said it fixes problems. I didn't catch the last thing you said.
Oh, I said, so that I can improve and fix the problems.
Yeah, fix problems. Exactly. And that thing is... there's certain people in our lives. Like, I think you and me, Jonathan, we're very open. We'll like talk about things. And I like that. I like those kinds of friendships where you can really just really debate and disagree, but it's not confrontational. It's in your, it almost, it just makes your friendship better when you can like really be open and honest with somebody. Right. And it's funny because even yesterday, I remember we were discussing this and I brought up something and I kind of was vulnerable and said how I felt about something. And then I was saying how like afterwards I was feeling kind of embarrassed, even though I feel like we have a history of just being open and honest with each other. And whenever we talk about, I said, I kind of had a, what did I say? Like, not kind of like a buyer's remorse. You know, you start to question yourself like, ah, I have like vulnerability remorse, and you start to feel silly and you start to be like, I can't believe I, it's like if you were like,
said that, I'm so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say you're having a discussion with someone and you get emotional, you start crying. This is what happened yesterday, but like, you know, I've had situations where like I might've cried and then I feel like silly afterwards, you know what I mean? And that's normal, but I think it's good to put ourselves in those situations and to assert ourselves and to be honest. And it can make both parties uncomfortable potentially. Like, let's say you have a, sorry, dude, you got that some bad breath. That's embarrassing. Especially, it certainly should, you wouldn't want to do that in a way that's like in front of everybody, you know, it'd be like, hey, just so you know, like kind of one-on-one. Right. But that's not going to be fun, but it's good. Right.
Right. You don't want to like attempt to, I guess where does this go wrong? When is this bad?
Yeah, that's a good, that's like the next place to go.
You don't want to do it in front of everyone. You don't want to like socially shame. You don't want to be in the middle of a company meeting and be like, hey, Bob, what are you, why are you doing this thing? That's stupid. Like you don't want to try to publicly shame someone. But when could this be bad even on a one-on-one scenario?
I think what you're saying is definitely like when, sorry, my wife tried to call me. Overtook my headphones for a second. I just sent her a text to say, hey, I'm recording, so she doesn't call again. But I think like what you're saying is it certainly shouldn't be a way that, where it's like shaming someone or embarrassing them. And really, what are your intentions? And, at a certain point, your intentions don't matter to a degree. It's like, when is it really just appropriate to correct somebody, to assert something to them. And you got to like kind of gauge the situation. I don't know.
I think it might be also wrong to be assertive, when you're relatively let me finish my thought first. I was going to say, it could be wrong to be assertive about an area which you don't have much expertise in it. You say, oh, well, anyone who decides to do this, they just don't know what they're talking about, even though you're the one who doesn't know what they're talking about. That's not a very well-thought-out formed idea.
No, I know exactly what you're getting at. And it's funny because your first thought is, well, maybe you shouldn't. But I think that we don't want to be too afraid, like, cause I've been in situations with like, oh, I have a thought on something, but maybe I'm wrong. And so I don't speak up where it's like, but as long as you're not so married to like your thought and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. This is my gut on this, my gut feeling on this, but be ready for someone to say, this is why I think that's actually wrong. And be like, oh yeah, good point. You know what I mean?
I think that might be the difference between communicative and assertive. If you don't have much experience, you don't want to assert. You don't want to just go up there and be like, oh yeah, I know the best. Here's the right way to do it.
That's interesting. But yeah, I think we've all experienced someone.
You still want to put out your idea. You want to be like, hey, here's my thought. What do you all think of this?
Yeah, and just kind of be ready to maybe learn.
Take a no. That's wrong because of this.
And there's times that's interesting. And there's times
when the other person needs to be assertive and say, actually, no, we can't, we shouldn't redesign the whole product because that's going to take too long. We need to focus on this one area. While this thing might be nice, it just would take too long. Or no, that's not a safe way of doing this thing. So
Yeah, I think, and then, and here's the thing, maybe you feel really convicted or you feel strongly and you think, hey, you know what, I know what I'm talking about here, and you are assertive. You might still be wrong, you know what I mean? But I think you need to like maybe not always jump to being like, I have such an ego that no matter, I have to believe everything I think or say is gold, right?
Right.
Because like there's people, we've all experienced people who are assertive when they're actually just ignorant. And it's like they're not even self-aware enough to realize that they're not experts on everything.
Like ourselves on this topic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. that's the nature of this podcast. We're just like, we're just going to say what we think. Who knows if what it's not based on anything. You know, we're not doing research on this.
Yeah.
Other than research from our experience, I guess, but.
So have you ever had the experience of like correcting a specific person over and over, and then it kind of like grows awkward over time because of you're disproportionately giving them more correction?
You mean not the same thing? You're just saying in general, like different corrections, but like you
yeah. have to keep correct. Well, it could be the same thing too. It's just like repeatedly talking to a person. Now it's awkward. You don't want to say to this person for, you know, you're like, oh, well, I have to fix something again. And do they think that I'm picking on them or something like that?
I can't think of a specific example, but I can definitely get a vibe of what you're getting at. It's just like you have legitimate corrections, but you feel like I've had to correct so much. I just feel like I'm starting to feel bad and I don't want this to get them down or yeah, whatever. They exactly. think that I'm looking for problems, right?
Right. So how do you, in a situation like that, so in our work, we review each other's work, mm-hmm. and you know, you're putting in the 20th comment on the review, and you're just like, normally I give two. Like, should I really pick at this anymore, or what should I do? Like, how do you overcome that? What is the correct course of action there?
Well, I mean, I think if there's 20 things, maybe start with like what's most significant, what actually is something like, let's say we're talking about reviewing code, right? And like, hey, this is actually going to be a breaking problem. It's going to break this, or it's going to have some real long-term negative effects if it's not, you know, resolved, and go from there. And other things are more just nitpicky, like, that's not really the way I would have done it. Or maybe the spacing in your lines isn't quite as beautiful as it could be. You know, like you got to kind of start with the most important work from there. Maybe that might be a way to go. What do you think?
Sure. But then you're not giving the same level of quality, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's true.
If I start out on someone else's work and the biggest problem that they have is starting out with, hey, this could be done just slightly better, and I only leave a few comments because it's already near perfection, then I'm having a certain level of quality. However, if something is presented to me that's, in my opinion, or maybe in truth, less quality, it has things that it needs multiple things fixed, should I go and keep going until I finally get to the same level of quality? Or am I just like, well, we fixed kind of the 10 biggest things, we'll just forget about the other stuff?
No, dude, go until you have the right level of quality. You're right with what you're saying, because I'm more junior than anyone on our team. And like, I get more feedback per piece of code that I write than other people do. But if I don't get that feedback, I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to improve. And so you're really doing me a favor. In fact, it's funny because I feel like, oh, wow, I might feel bad potentially that you're having to put so much work into helping me fix my problems. And you might feel bad like, oh, I'm having to like keep correcting him, and that may make him feel bad. But really, ultimately, we're all just trying to get to the same place. So if someone that feels bad by this, then they're not really in tune with reality, because obviously they have a long way to go. And if that's making them feel upset, then like they need to do something about it and get better, right?
Yeah. But it could be just a frustration in itself, you know. Oh, I have to go back and fix this thing yet again. You know, I have to fix another thing, you know. You just you feel like you're done with your work, and then it's constantly coming back and being like, nope. I mean, you feel that frustration. I feel that frustration.
I feel that frustration. I'm like, I thought I was done. And then you apply maybe that change, and then you realize that affected something else, or you have to update a test that is now failing because of a change you made, and you're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was done. But that's just life, you know. We can't avoid these things. You know, this is the process of improvement, learning, and growing. And if you see somewhere that's a valid concern, you should speak up. And that's when you should assert yourself, is when you really see a problem. But really ask yourself, is this really a problem? Or am I just being picky? Am I just like, is this really more about how I like things done, or is this really a problem? You know, those are kind of the thing that, and I don't mean just with code, I mean with anything. If someone speaks a certain way and I'm like, I don't need to always call somebody out because they don't necessarily have the same understanding of a topic or a way to approach something as I do. But there might be certain situations where I'm like, that's just not right. You shouldn't speak to someone that way. You're being rude to that person. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's a good topic for next time, is what level of picky. Is being picky okay?
Like in general?
Yeah. Or
yeah.
In specific applications, but yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because I'll have to think about, I don't know, maybe I feel like, yeah, I want you to be picky. I want you to be like, oh no, well, this tiny little thing, we can prove it. I'm still up for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's all about like improvement upon improvement. That's really kind of its own reward. And some people might think good enough's good enough, leave me alone. You know what I mean? But that's okay. You know what I mean? You should still, if you think that something is a problem, you should address it.
As a perfectionist, picky.
But if you, yeah, but be prepared for someone to not agree. You know what I mean? So
then they're wrong.
That's true. Well, that was good. That's good. I was worried because it's the two of us. I didn't know. We actually went over. I keep it 20 minutes. So, hey, man, there we go. Well, thanks for listening. And thanks for joining, Jonathan. I appreciate your insight. You're a very thoughtful person, and it's good to speak with you. Oh, of course. So if anyone ever is listening to this, has any recommendations for topics, if this kind of inspires you to think of something that you'd like us to speak about, we would absolutely love to hear it. You can email us at boxesandfries@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Boxes and Fries. Until next time, have a great week.